Well, I'll take your prayers. And I'm glad the day that the Lord has arose. You know, life is a complicated thing. It's not simple. Man has endeavored to find out where life came from. He has tried to duplicate life in test situations to be able to create the simplest, not compound life, but he wants to just be able, if he could just create a simple cell life. He tried to do it, he can't do it. It's a very complex thing, and it's always been a marvel. It's a wonder, and God has created life. It's by the power of God that we have life. And it's no wonder that people kind of strain at it. To think that there could be a resurrection is a hard thing to think by a lot of people, because life is so complex, and it's hard sometimes to believe that once a person's life is gone, that it could come back. But life itself suggests a creator that created it. Man can't do it. Nothing else can do it. The fact that you're here today is a proof that there is a God that created you. God is an all-powerful, almighty God that I would like to look into this morning, and hope that our faith will be encouraged, not in ourselves, not in human abilities or what we can do, not individually, not collectively, but that we would rest our whole faith and confidence in the power of God. Because if it is true, and it is, but if it is true that God created and maintains life, if he can maintain the greatest, he maintains the simplest. There is a rule that you can remember, that if God loved you enough to die for you the most, then he loves you enough to care about the least. If he can do the greatest, he can do the least. If he can do the much, he can do the least. So God today is not only a God that does the great things, he's a God that does the small things. And if you and I have any needs in our life, any places in our life, he's a God of all power. He's a great, great God this morning that we can put our trust and faith in, confidence in, that he can do anything and everything that we need him to do. You may have a relationship with the Lord this morning, and you may believe in the great works that he's done, but I want to tell you, he can help you find your car keys. If he created the universe and knows every planet, every star, everything that he done, then he knows where your car keys are at. And if he's a God that does all those things, then he's a God. One scripture writer was amazed. He said, "Who is man that thou art mindful of him?" Why would a great creator even be mindful? It's wonderful that God would be so caring about me when I am so little. I think about it and express it many times this way. I'm right now taking up approximately a square foot, or maybe a little bit more, but I mean, an area right here. I don't amount to much compared to this chapel. This chapel's small compared to the Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is relatively small in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is not that big in the U.S. U.S. is not that big in the world. The world is not that big in the galaxy, and the galaxy isn't that big in the universe. And God is bigger than all of that. And as small as I am, God cares about me. And he cares about you. And his power to prove that is unlimited this morning, and you can put your trust and faith and confidence in a God that is big enough to do everything you need Him to do for you in your life. Everything. You can rest on Him, and when the troubles come and the difficulties come and the problems come in life, we ought to have a confidence and a faith in the power of God. Because if He made life, He can keep it. If He did the greatest, He can do the simplest. So today I want to look a little bit, think a little bit about the power of God. Over in Matthew, I think I want to start in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. And as you can probably hear, my voice has been strained, so you pray for me. 22nd chapter of Matthew, 23rd verse. It says, the same day came to Him Sadducees, which say, there is no resurrection. And asked Him, saying, Master Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brothers, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose life shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Now, I'm a person that likes logic. I like logic. And I like for columns of numbers. I like for them to end up at the end. And I like to know of the factual results of that. I like to look at life in a factual way, in a very logical way, in a sequenced way. It's the way I look at things. And I look at this that the Sadducees had brought to the Lord. And I'll have to say that as far as human thinking goes, that was very logical in his order. It would be a logical question to ask if Moses had commanded that. And that is very logical in the human idea of looking at things. It's very logical. It's only one problem that the Sadducees had. They had concluded, before they ever even thought of this, they had concluded that it's an impossible ability to have a resurrection. They skewed their view of what they were thinking from the start by concluding that there was no resurrection. And the reason why they probably concluded there was no resurrection, because it's hard to understand how life can do that. It's a complicated matter. They didn't believe that there was a resurrection. So they asked the Lord this question that seems very logical and very in order. But I want to tell you something. Folks, when we get into human reasoning, it really works well in this life. I'm glad for the ability that God give us to reason and have mathematical sequences and algorithms and those kind of things that make sense and works in life. But I want to say this, it doesn't work in the spiritual kingdom, for we have no basis. From the human thought, we have no basis to what it is. They started off with the idea of what heaven was and what it was going to be, and they had no idea to be able to base anything on that, because they didn't know about it. And when we start our human and reasonings, Lord help us to put our faith in the power of God and not in human reasonings. Because our human reasonings are always fallible in the way we perceive things, the way we see things. As long as we're conducting the things in the normal course of God's world, which is an amazing creation. God is an amazing creator in what He did. We don't even know the part of what God has done in creation. Just out of a fraction of a fraction do we understand. So Jesus answers them in their human reasoning by saying, You err. Not understanding, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. You're erring in the fact that you don't know the scriptures. He goes on to tell them that in heaven there's neither male nor female. Marriage is given for a reason on this world to bless us and to continue the human population through a righteous way that God created. It was what it's for. There is no need to keep on populating heaven because there will be no death in heaven. There is no need to be male or female in heaven because the need of it is gone. And so it's not going to be there. And he explained something that they didn't understand about it is that you're going to be like the angels. You're not going to have that kind of... It's going to be a different place and situation altogether. Human reasoning can never figure that because he was figuring it for this planet, for this world. Lord, help us. Let our faith rest in the power of God. I don't have to understand the ins and outs of resurrection or of life or all that to believe and know that the power of God is great today. It is great into keeping our lives, into helping us, into blessing us. He's a great, powerful God. We look at limitations, don't we? I like to tell this story. You may have heard it. Years ago, when my oldest daughter was a very small little girl, I used to fix her toys. I was pretty successful at gluing, pasting, taping, wiring toys. Getting them to work again, getting them to run again, whatever it was, I was pretty successful with my little girl to keep her toys going. So one day she had a balloon that popped on her and when it popped, her mother was consoling her and said, you know, trying to, oh, it's all, you know, we'll get you another and all that. She said, it's okay. Daddy will fix it when he gets home. And I'm gonna tell you that was quite an honor for my daughter to say that Daddy can fix that. But I sat there and thought, I'm up against it now. I have to keep my little girl's confidence here. And how am I going to? And I was even in a mode, what would you do to fix a pop balloon? You can't tape it. You can't glue it. You can't wire it together. The old farmer's idea of everything needs baling twine don't work. Now, everything that needs a little wire or this and that, nothing worked. And the Lord spoke to me. And this is the way the Lord presented it to me. I run into my limitation. I can't make the balloon hold air anymore. But God doesn't have the same limitations. There's nobody in here can solve your life's problems for you. There's nobody in here that can cause your broken dreams and your broken heart and your broken life to hold air anymore. None of us have the ability to do it. We can't change it. We can't heal diseases. We can't help broken hearted. We can't cure your sin diseases. But God can. He's a God that can change and He can make a new balloon for you. He knows how to make your life better. I don't know how to do that. But he said, there you err in this idea where you say there's no resurrection. You're erring because you don't know the power of God. Folks, the resurrection is a type of something that we thank God for the resurrection that Christ had. I'm going to tell you, there's more to the resurrection than just the last and final resurrection of the dead. There's a resurrection of our new life. If he can resurrect these bodies, then he can also resurrect the inner man, the spiritual man. That's what needs resurrected today in this life. We need a resurrection of faith and resurrection of a new life in Christ. The scripture says, while you're dead, or while you're in sin, you're dead. Dead in trespasses in sin, a dead life. But the Lord can resurrect that. Do you know that there was people in the scriptures that gave a witness to the resurrection of Christ that wasn't there? Well, how did they do that? I am a witness of the resurrection of Christ. Aren't you? Is Christ dead? No, he's not dead. He lives forevermore. He's living forevermore in the hearts of those that believe him. He lives in heaven. He has a power that he wants to give us that. Now, the Sadducees had Jesus said to them, you err not knowing the power of God. Because God can do what you can never imagine done. He created life. He owns it. Revelation said of Jesus that he had the keys of death, which is by inference, he has the keys of life. Nobody else has the keys, folks. Jesus owns the keys of life and death. He can open it and He can close it. He's got the keys. So when Jesus was crucified, we heard the song just now. It was hard for Thomas to believe. It was hard to believe. A man lives on this life and he dies, and we know that of a certainty. I see things die around me all the time. Trees die, animals die, people die. We put them on the ground. We see them go. We don't hear from them again. We can't see them act again. There's no animation anymore. We see that and we call it final. We call it final. But there's one that has the key. And Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus, and he died. And they called for him while he was sick, called for the Lord, and said, if Jesus would come, if He would come, He could heal our brother, that he wouldn't die. And they come and told the Lord and said, Lazarus is sick unto death. And Jesus didn't go. He didn't immediately go. He stayed. And in a while He went, and by the time He got there, Lazarus had been buried 4 days. And Jesus said, speaks and says, Lazarus, come forth. 4 days, and they said, 4 days, he stinketh. The corruption would already started. How do you answer that humanly? By deduction? What exactly happened? Anybody want to tell me what exactly happened? How do you go from dead to life? Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. It didn't take a long time, didn't sound like. Lazarus got up out of the grave and walked out of there alive as he ever was. Because the one that had the key turned the lock and opened him out of death into life again. You know that Jesus went to the grave, but he told his disciples and those around, you take my life, you tear this temple down, I'll build it again in 3 days. By Jesus' own power and authority, he brought his life back into his body. We err. Many errs. One of the commentators said, we err in many different ways and many different times because we don't know the power of God. We come short in our lives many times because we don't have a real faith in the power of God and what He can do for us in our lives. We can look sometimes and say, the situation's hopeless. Life is almost gone. Is that really a problem with God? Lord help us. Several years ago, I was holding a meeting in Sepulpa. And I felt like the Lord was blessing. And so I was praying about a message for the night service. And the Lord gave me a message. And I was working with the message. And all of a sudden, Sister Trisha says to me, said, Brother James is down to the jail, getting ready to go into jail. And nobody go in with him. I have to go in by twos. I said, Brother Marty, he needs somebody to go in. Will you go in with him? And I said, he said, you don't have to do a thing. All you got to be is a warm body. All you got to be is there living. All you got to do is walk in. So I said, well, yeah, sure. I'll go if that's all it is. So went down to the jail. I didn't even take my Bible with me. I did take my Bible with me, but there was such a rush. I had forgot my wallet. So I had no identification. I didn't know how the system worked. So I get down there. And there was two other guys going in with us, and me and Brother James, and we was there, and everybody goes up and shows their identification, who they are, and have to do all that to get into the jail there and all. And so he got up and said, do you need some identification? And I, oh, oh no, got my wallet. It's like, I forgot your wallet. What kind of guy is this? You got your wallet. And that, and I had my Bible. And there was this old guy. He was an old state senator or something. He was the one that kind of had the work going there. And he said, you don't have your wallet? He said, well, do you got your Bible? And I said, well, yeah, here's my Bible. And he went and took my Bible and said, that's enough. And he put my Bible down on down there and said, here's these credentials right here. They looked and said, okay, good enough. We went in there and was going by pods and doing the different things. And finally, Brother James went into the first room and he started doing this lesson with the men gathered around there. And it was real good. It was kind of inspiring. And it was the same scriptures I had for the message. I said, isn't that something? I mean, he's saying the same things the Lord gave me. I had no idea it was in what he was doing. So he did that with one pod, and the second one at the end of the little deal he did with the men, he said, and this is Brother Marty. He's from West Virginia, and maybe he'd like to say a little bit. And I said, yeah, I got something. I said a few little things about what the Lord done for me, and went into about the third or fourth pod, whatever it was. And we walk in, and he greets all the guys come around, and he said, and this here is Brother Marty Clevenger, and he's got a message for you. And well, I said, well, I do. The Lord gave me the same thing. And so I, after doing that through the pod there a little bit and all, got through at the end of the day about 5:30 in the evening when we got through finally. And I finally got through, and it's kind of exhilarating to be able to help and do that. And all of a sudden I realized, I'm done. I don't have a thing for service. The inspiration of that was gone, done giving out. The burden was gone. And I'm getting frantic. I got to preach it's a home, get go. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't have a thing. This is going to buy it, Lord. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? This is the way I got it. The Lord said, I ain't a bit worried. And I was like, folks, listen, we err not knowing the power of God. Is this my work or God's work? Is God in this or not? Is God able to lead and guide you? Many people say, I ain't capable. Moses says, don't say, I can't do this. I can't speak. Well, I guess I'm God enough to do something for you here. You're err not knowing the power of God. And you can say, well, they ain't no use in praying for that person. They're just too deep in sin. Really? You know, ain't no sense in praying them. They're too close to death now. We err not knowing the power of God. God is able to help us in all these situations. I'll tell you what, they said it's a pauper. And it's nothing to me, and this proves it. They said of all the services, that night that I didn't have anything was the best one. I can tell you why. I had much more dependency on the Lord giving me something, right? And He did, because of the power of God. God is able to help you and I. And I want our faith to be in the power of God and not in the power of ourselves. The abilities that we have or what we can do. You know what? The Lord has blessed us, and it is a blessing to be able to have the gift of singing that we have. But you can sing. People can sing in harmonies and have great and musical abilities and not touch the souls of people. And you know, I've known people that didn't sing so perfectly or so that there was something came from them that blessed everybody. It's the power of God that can work. God can touch and help in our lives. Quit depending on what we think we can do or what abilities we have, and trust in the power of God. If there's someone in your life that you want to pray for that God will touch their life, it ain't by how good you are. It ain't by how many good words you have or what you can do. It's by the power of God that they can be touched. Lord, help us to put our faith in the power of God to be able to reach other souls around about us, because that is the truth. And I remember another story that I read, and this was many, many years ago, if not over 100 years ago, I believe it was back in the 18s. There was a woman in Chicago. They had decided that they was going to, there was a church system there of some sort, and they had an ambition to get out and really touch the city of Chicago and get souls and touch souls. And so they got together and decided how they were going to do it. And so they was going to go and how they was going to go. And after much labor, they had nothing, no success. They wasn't able to do anything. And so finally, after they all went out, the pastor's wife, who was heading this, had said that she was going to send them all out and she was going to fast and pray. And so she started fasting and praying. And while she was fasting and praying, she got a vision. And in the vision, she plainly seen on Lincoln Street or something. Don't quote me on that, but it was something like that. Lincoln Street. She saw an old house or an old apartment type building with the stairs going up in a certain way. And she saw it clearly in her vision. And she got up and went to her husband, the pastor, and said, is there a Lincoln Street in Chicago? And he said, I have no idea if there's a Lincoln Street here. And they got to looking, and sure enough, there was a Lincoln Street. And she said, we got to go. We got to go. Look, the Lord has given me something. And I think this might have been in the early 1920s or 30s or something. And anyway, she went there and went to this, and she was going along the street there. And just now she says, that's it. That's it right there. That's what the Lord gave me in the vision. And they went up and it was pounding on the door. Nobody answered. They pounded on the door and just now they hear somebody in there. And there was an old Christian woman that had fallen to the floor in there and she couldn't get up and she had laid there for a couple of days and she was praying, Lord, send me somebody. Lord, send me somebody. It hit the throne. The throne bounced back down and by the power of God, he worked it all together. That's the power of God. God is able to do everything we need in life. But if you just run off doing it the way you want to do it and not trusting in the power of God, God can unite the honest soul, the honest believer with the honest people. God can put it all together. It takes God to work. You and I have a job of sowing and the working, but we need to trust in the power of God to bring it to fruit because it's the only thing that can do it. It's the power of God. There was a situation in the scriptures where I think it was the prophet Ezekiel. He comes up and he looks over a field. And what he sees, Ezekiel, is a valley of dry bones. Evidently, there had been a great army and a great battle there. I don't know. Something happened there because there was a great valley of dry bones. Just dry bones. Oh, dried up bones. And the Lord asked Ezekiel a question. Can these bones live again? And Ezekiel wasn't an arrogant, I know it all type guy. He wasn't going to answer just quickly or anything. He answered honestly. It seems so impossible. It seems so impossible. You know, sometimes, and Lord help us, sometimes there are situations that we run into. We just don't have enough faith in the power of God. Can these bones, thou knowest, Lord, can there be? I want you to go prophesy to them. All right, go prophesy. You know what? It's going to take some faith to prophesy to some dry bones. This world's getting, our world, our nation is getting too bad for there to be any salvation left in it. There's some awful dry bones. But we serve a God with great power. God can put life back into things that's dead. He can cause it to live again. Do you know that it is possible that in the course of your Christian experiences that you could hit, that loads and storms could hit you to the point that it can knock you flat on your face? And you could, it can knock the faith out of you. And God can raise it back up. He's a mighty, mighty powerful God. Prophesy to him. So the Lord, thou sayest, thou knowest. He went and prophesied to the bones and they stood up. They started getting life. And before long, can they breathe again? Can they breathe again? I don't know, Lord. There's a body here, but it still ain't got it. Can it be animated? Can it live again? Prophesy to it. Prophesy to it by the power of God. It can live again. It can walk again. Your life can be resurrected again. There's people all over this city whose life's been crushed down and they've lost everything they've had and they don't know. And there is a God that is able to restore that life back to them. There's marriages that need healed. Can this marriage ever work again? No, there's been too much heartache, too much trouble, too much abuse, too much that stuff. I say this, there's a power of God to change and alter the hearts until that marriage can take life again. A spiritual life that God wants to give, that's possible through God. It's not a shame, folks. It's not a shame. Lord help us. It's not a shame to be in this place that it's hard. It's not a shame, but Lord, help us to have faith in God. There was another time, you all remember well in scriptures. Jesus come by and he looked and he saw a fig tree and he was hungered. And so he says, go get the figs. And the time of the harvest was not yet, which meant, what that is referring to is that after they pick them all, they would be gone. But the time that they would pick them all wasn't there yet. And so, by the season of the time, there should have been figs on the tree. And Jesus sees a fig tree, he's hungry, so he goes to the fig tree. It didn't have no figs on it. And Jesus cursed the tree. And he said it would have no fruit henceforth, no more forever. And they turn around and come back the next morning, or something like that. And the fig tree was dried up. It was completely dried up. And the apostles marveled at how quickly, not that it had dried up so much necessarily, but if we could see it in the natural order, it makes sense to us. I realize trees die. You can put substances on trees and kill them, and within a day the leaves are withered, and after a while the tree's dead. I mean, I have stuff that die all the time, and it dies in the natural order of stuff. But the apostles marveled that they looked and said how quickly he cursed it, and it dried up immediately by the power of God. And when they said that, Jesus had one response to them. You can read it. His response to them was, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You think something's impossible? It's not impossible. You've allowed the world to mess your mind up. We look at it and say it's impossible that it ever be straightened up. That's not true. We have a God that's awesome power. He can change and alter the human mind. He can help each one of us. I love the story because there is things in my life that I need dried up. There is places and attitudes and things that the devil will bring and you struggle and those kind of things. And the Lord, they said, how quickly it dries up. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Lord, I got something here I need dried up. This thing's alive in me. And the Lord says, you'll henceforth bring forth fruit from never again. And never again it will. Because of the power of God. We'll rest in our own abilities. Lord, if I can get enough fortitude or power or strength, I can overcome this thing by myself. I'll make a New Year's resolution or I'll do something that I'll make. And I'll make it better and I'll attempt. And it's failure after failure will fall on us in that way. But there is a power of God to overcome these things in our lives. And it dried up quickly. And it was because of the Lord. We doubt sometimes. It is not hard. Over in John, the 3rd chapter. One of my favorite characters of the Bible is Nicodemus. I just feel him. I just feel like I understand the guy. It says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now I'm going to tell you, he come by night because he was in a struggle. He was in a struggle of not being able to just openly show everybody of where he was at and what he was doing. And he went to the Lord and he didn't cast him down. He didn't make fun of. He didn't say that he was Beelzebub. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to the Lord and he had deduced rightly about the things that he looked at, and he had a faith in God, and he believed in God, and he knew the scriptures, and he believed in the scriptures, and he could not help from being honest and concluding. And he said to the Lord, and I love this, folks, because in a debating situation, or in a situation of looking at facts and those kind of things, Nicodemus did something that was so important. He took all of his arguments away. He came and said, "We know that thou art from God." Now, you don't say somebody's from God, then go ahead and tell them how wrong they are. Nicodemus concluded to Jesus that you are from God. You know, when I'm talking with people, I want to just put this in as an aside. Be very careful about you're saying that God told me. Now, I believe the Lord tells us, but you be very careful about accepting that the Lord told me, because no matter how hideous or wrong you can be, you out trump everything when you say that. It is, you come to me for advice and you tell me the Lord told you something. I have nothing more to say higher than that. What am I going to tell you higher than that? I might disagree with you that the Lord would say something like that, but I could never say something any better than saying that the Lord said it. Because you ought to listen to the Lord before you listen to me or anybody else. And if you say the Lord, you be very careful about saying it. But Nicodemus come and said, "Thou art of God." I don't have any arguments about that. Nobody can exhibit the power that you have, except for God be with them. That is done under the power of God, because nobody else has the power to tell a blind man to see, or to somebody that never could walk to walk, or to somebody that had dreaded leprosy that was known to just take that the leprosy was healed, or to speak to the dumb or the blind, the deaf, that those in those situations and heal them. Who can do it? Who can speak to a man named Legion, who had these problems? It said that many times men went and tried to chain him and couldn't chain him. He'd break the chains. He would break it. They couldn't control this man. And along come one that never laid a hand on him. Along come one that the spirit that man had was totally in subjection to Christ, because he is a powerful God. You know, sometimes we'll look at illnesses of our days, from mental illness to many of us misdiagnosed, and it is imposition of the devil. It's totally under the subjection of Christ. And the Lord has given his people the power many times to resist that too. He gives it as a gift sometimes. Lord, help us of to have a faith in the power of God. Today's Easter. We celebrate the resurrection. It was the ultimate expression of God's power to humanity. You don't know life. You don't have life. This is life. We look and see the newness of life all around. The trees are budding again. The newness is coming out everywhere. As a type, we look at that and the new life that's coming out, and nobody can really explain it. Well, who made it? How did it get there? Can we duplicate it? No, we can take and play around with it. We can cross one species with another. We can pollinate one thing into another. We can cross it up like that. But going back to its original life, as smart as man is, he can't do it, because he don't have the power. The Lord spoke the universe. He spoke our world. He spoke our lives into existence by his awesome power. And he still uses his awesome power today. He said to Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Rebirth is coming. A rebirth. Nicodemus, you need to be reborn. You need to be resurrected from the old to the new. You need a life to start. Nicodemus was a good soul. I believe that. He come into the night, but don't hold it against him, folks. We all have our places. Nicodemus wasn't sure. He wasn't ready to face the things. He didn't have the power of the Spirit yet to face the thing the way he was going to have to face it. He wasn't quite there to let everybody know that he was a Jesus follower. So he snuck in at night. You know, there come a time, if you want to look into it, that Nicodemus didn't do that. He went and got the body of, Joseph? Went and got the body of Jesus, and wasn't ashamed of it either. I believe that the words of Jesus penetrated. I think the power of God penetrated Nicodemus. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Listen, you do err, Nicodemus, not knowing the scriptures and the power of God. You're looking at it through human reasoning and idea. You're not realizing the power of God to resurrect the soul. You're not looking at it right. You don't see it right. But he says to him, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be so? I don't think he was a bad soul. He was questioning. How can this be? How can we understand this? There is one real truth that we need to get a hold of. And that is God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. And in our Christian life and faith, we've got to hold that God is all powerful. And when I sat in the times of my life being challenged by the circumstances of life that look so much bigger than I am. They are bigger than me. They're bigger than I am. There is no reason for me to say that I'm big enough to handle these things. I'm not big enough. Well, I know there's people with more mental fortitude than I have. There's people that are stronger physically than I am. I know there's people that can put up with more pain than I can. But there's a limit to all of us. Every one of us have our limits of what we can do. I've said many times in my lifetime, I feel like the line between sanity and insanity is awful thin. And I need God to help me to stay on the sanity side of it. It seems like the emotions that we have and we deal with sometimes that they can snap awful easily. And I need God to sustain that through His power and His ability. Not my ability. We need to hold that in our trials and situations that there is a faith we have in the all-powerful God. Our God is mighty to deliver. He's mighty to save. We got to realize that He is able to resurrect these bodies. He's able to resurrect our life spiritually. He's able to build back what's torn down. He's able to build back up confidences. He's able to build back up lives and make them right again. He'll make your life whole there again. If you'll let Him, if you'll believe in the power of God and let Him, He can cause you to hold air again. And you can be something again by the help of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what happened to Ezekiel's dry bones. He said he looked, there was a great army. They arose again into a great army because of the power of God is able to do that. It isn't over, folks. God is still able to bless and help us in these things. Lord, help us. Paul says to King Agrippa in Acts 26. Look at that just a minute. One verse. Oh, let's see, where about we at here? All 7 says, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought an incredible, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I think that we would all be fascinated by it to see it. But it is a reality. God is able to raise the dead. There will be, we look at it and say, the mystery is great. You take a man, you bury him in the ground, and he turns to ash. He turns back to the dust from which he comes. Is it possible that that dust particles could all come back together and make up a being that was once here and then gone and make a new body of some kind that was brave? But out of that, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. That the Lord is talking about, and Paul says it to King Agrippa, is that it shouldn't be a thing incredible with you that God can raise the dead. He made them to start with. He knows everything about you. You know, the scripture says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. What a wonderful creation that God has made. That we can function. My mind can, I can feel thirst. My mind can reach for the water. My hand can bring it to my mouth. My mouth can drink it. I can function in my, one hand can shift gears. The other can steer and wheel at the same time. My foot's pushing the gas of the clutch of the brake. And it's a wonderful coordination of things. And God made us, but yet it's so fearful in the sense that it can end so abruptly. What one little aneurysm in the brain takes people out. What one little moment of or one little bacteria that gets in and grows in a person, or one little thing of gets in, and it's so fearful because it's so tender and yet it's so tough. It's so capable and yet it's so incapable. God made all these things, and there is way much I can put my trust on me, folks. But there's a power of God. I want to leave us with this, and I hope you're encouraged with this. Anchor your faith and your trials in the power of our great God. Jesus is able. They killed his mortal body and laid it in a tomb. And he brought it back to life. And he lives forevermore. He sits on the right hand of God making intercession for you. I mean, think about it. He makes intercession. It's so personal. Jesus died for me, and he didn't leave it that way. He sits ever watching, looking down. There was a man named Stephen in the scripture. Remember him? I like to ask you this question because it's such an important question. What do you think that God is doing when you're in the hottest trial? Do you think he's on vacation? Uh-oh. God ain't available. Perhaps he sleepeth. The prophet mocked the prophets of Baal. Perhaps your God's asleep. Maybe he went on a journey. Where is he at? He's not working. Stephen was being stoned to death, and he looked up and beheld, and he saw Jesus standing. Oh, I think standing is a good place. Standing. There's others that say he sits on the right hand of God making intercession for us. He wasn't sitting when Stephen was being stoned. You know, you can move a lot faster when you're standing, getting up. This symbolizes that Jesus was looking and was ready. There is nothing can befall you, Stephen. Gotcha. I got you. He looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You know what right hand has always signified? It's the power hand. Jesus stands on the power hand of God. There's nothing that he can't, there's nothing that has been reserved from his hand to us. He stands with all the power of God to rescue us, to help us, to bless us. And we need to have faith, not in ourselves, not in our country, not in our nation, not in our army. And one writer said, I behold that the battle's not to the mighty, the race is not to the swift. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's by the power of God that you and I live and move and have our being. It's God. that is able to take care of us in our life. I feel like that I'm a pretty experienced driver. I've drove thousands of miles over the last 20 some years. I've been driving a lot of miles. I never conclude to the fact that I'm so experienced that I can handle the situations. Never do I think that when I leave home or I'm on the highway. But I ask God for the power of God to bless and help and keep us, because He's able to do it through His power when all the experience I have would fail me. And yours will too. So trust in the power of God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.